Lean forward slightly. Look straight at the speaker. And listen with a sparkle in your eye, as though you might be thinking, gee, this is the most wonderful thing I ever heard in all my life.
We interrupt this program to waste some of your valuable time.
Coming to you live from our bedroom studio in the Pacific Northwest, it's TGIF Radio. This show is brought to you by the Internet, Electricity, and Mind Power. And now, with no agenda in mind, here's TGIF Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the highlight of your week. It is Friday. This is TGIF Radio. Say goodbye to the work week and hello to the weekend. Say what you want about Ocean's 12,
have great soundtracks.
Yeah, I don't know why I don't have all of them. The only reason I have this one is for, we were talking about it earlier, the dude and his crazy laser light show, which might have been the best part of the movie.
Debatably, yes.
Even though they were giving you a baby food spoon-fed plot point there. Yeah. Just like, oh, by the way, this guy's a ninja.
Yeah, deal with it.
I don't know if you did that in
he's
more
a ninja
movies,
with sick beats.
Well, sure, he's a breakdancing ninja. Who can argue with that? Because ninjas, when they start out, are already a really awesome concept because, like, you can't see them, and they know all forms of karate, so if you ever mess with a ninja, you're just dead automatically.
Pretty much.
And then you go ahead and throw some fat beats on top of all these awesome karate moves. It's an unbeatable combination.
Yeah, definitely.
So I fully support the ninja way of life, I guess. I don't know if I'd be able to devote myself to it.
I don't know that I would either.
No, I can't break wooden boards with my head. That's something they have to do, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm pretty sure you have to become a Buddhist monk for like 5 years, say, screw this, this is really boring, because I just want to smash some faces.
You can't say it, you have to think it. You can't speak it, though.
Oh, yeah, because ninjas don't.
Well, I thought the Buddhist monks don't really speak that much.
Do they not?
Other than in prayer. I don't know.
How else are they supposed to communicate their ideas?
They don't.
That
they just are quiet and writing. I don't know.
They just have the group mentality. We should all shave our heads, wear orange shirts, and stupid moccasins.
I don't know. Maybe it's something else that I'm thinking of that do that. But I thought there was one group of monk-type people like that that just don't talk.
Are they swearing themselves to secrecy? Or
just silence?
Just like,
I think so, yeah.
Oh, it's not secrecy.
No, it's just silence.
Oh, boy, I don't want people to learn the secrets of where I got these shirts. Which, spoilers, they're handmade because it's part of our training. You become a seamstress as a way to make yourself selfless or something.
I don't know.
I have no idea. I'm not a Buddhist monk.
Self-reliant. I don't know. Make your own clothes. I don't know.
Sure, why not? I mean, people can make it out of grass and stuff. Why not harness the power of silkworms and be like, oh, you know what? Why have people thought of this idea? Just get... I don't know how you'd train a silkworm, but just, like, set up a frame in the shape of a shirt and then make some caterpillars, like, make some rounds on it, and hey, you got a shirt. You're done. Would that hold up? Is that stupid?
It probably wouldn't hold up because the thing is the silk is then taken and spun into fibers, which are then woven into the shirts.
So it's way more complicated than I thought
it was.
It's
not just a sheet of silk from a... from a caterpillar.
That's how most of my plans seem to send up. Rule number one, it's never as simple as you think it is.
No. Because it's like taking cotton and saying if you just stuffed a bunch of cotton into the shape of a shirt, it would make a shirt.
But you'd be wearing like a pillow shirt.
Pretty much,
That'd be pretty funny.
It would be kind of funny, but you need some way to keep it together, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
So you take the cotton, you spin it into a thread, which then is then woven into a shirt.
That'd be pretty fun, though. I would like a pillow shirt, though. I think there's a specific market for that. I don't think parkas count.
No.
Because that you're buying
muscle
a
suits.
Whole coat. Muscles? Oh, maybe.
It's like two little shirts with stuffing in the middle.
I'm just thinking, well, I'm trying to apply this stupid idea more practically if it did exist. Like, if you needed... What would you need padded clothing for? Maybe... the first time you go ice skating or something, you don't want to actually tape a pillow to your butt like every 80s cartoon portrayed.
Yeah,
when somebody was first learning how to ice skate, that's not a cliche you want
to
fall into.
Just take a bruised collarbone like a man. No, I don't know.
I
really fell that much. If I fell, I fell on my knees, not my butt.
Yeah, ice skating's fun.
Yeah.
I never hit my head on the ice. That was always like the biggest fear that. anybody that took me ice skating was putting forth. And I don't know if it was specifically aimed at me because they didn't see me as being ice skating material. They never saw me in that section of the Olympics. They probably saw me doing, like, I don't know, marksmanship or something. Or did they get rid of marksmanship because they were all like,
their guns are... No, it's still a thing. They still have marksmanship. They still have trap shooting,
okay,
which is pretty cool to watch.
I haven't ever seen it on TV.
I saw it once, 1 year.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it's just like they
decided... They have some cool clays, though. Because they have the clays that when they get shot, they explode into purple dust. They're orange clays, but they got like a purple dust in the center. So when they explode, it explodes in a giant purple cloud.
That's really fancy.
It is really cool.
I want just... This is really weird. I have no idea where this is. So nobody can go find it if they ask me because I legitimately don't know. But there's some place up in the mountains where you just you take a dirt road for like a million miles and then you're in some sort of quarry that was never actually officially used as a quarry. It's just a place where people take all their old crap and they shoot the hell out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's shotgun shells everywhere. And
is that that place Andrew took us?
No. This is a totally different place. Okay. That place is cool.
Yeah.
But, no, I'm, this was a very long time ago. I think it was before I moved here, maybe.
Okay.
No, I lived here already. I don't know. So it's probably by Castle Rock or something.
Okay.
And I actually found two or three whole clay pigeons in this place, which is really remarkable for me, being that this was like the poster child of wanton firearm destruction with all these shells everywhere, and I'm pretty sure there was a hollowed out TV.
Yeah.
Very weird to find an actual like whole bullets too.
Yeah.
They weren't in their casings, but they were actually still shaped like cone
they
weren't
all deformed.
Yeah weird to find.
Mm-hmm.
It's like people were leaving them for me because like when you're 8 years old, you just go around and like anything that has a cool shape to it or the slightest bit of shine to it, you want to keep that.
Yeah, well, bullets don't always deform that heavily. I mean, that's how they can do ballistics, is they recover a somewhat undeformed bullet,
which is very lucky.
Yeah,
I think that it doesn't just explode inside of whatever it shot, because like, bullets are already moving so fast.
Oh yeah, I figure they're moving slowest. You know, handgun. I'm just sticking with handguns. Slowest handgun ones are moving at like 800 feet per second.
Is that's lower than speed of sound? Right.
Yeah, it's subsonic.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know the feet per second.
But most handgun bullets are going about 1,100 feet per second, so about the speed of sound.
Okay. Just around there.
Yeah,
that's a stroll in the park for you.
Well, it depends very
much
on what bullet you're using.
Yeah, true.
It varies from manufacturer to manufacturer.
Yeah. Now, ballistics seems like a really interesting job.
It is really interesting.
No idea how it works, but so I'm never going to make a foray into that.
Basically, the super layman's term is because all guns, or most modern guns, have rifling. You know, they basically have the barrel has a twist of grooves in it, which causes the bullet to spin.
They have spinny tracks to
exactly.
make the bullet
to make the bullet spin as it goes down the barrel, which then stabilizes it as it goes forward. Makes it more accurate.
Okay.
But the thing is, those grooves leave marks in the bullet as it goes down the barrel.
But it's not, I've always thought this is it's those grooves are like a fingerprint. For
more
the
or
gun.
Less, yes, because each one will have slightly different grooving patterns in it. They're not going to be identical.
It's going to be that detailed that they could find, like, the specific gun that the bullet came from?
Usually, yeah. At the very least, just using it as a reference, you could probably find the make or model of a gun.
Yeah, because I always thought...
And then narrow it down from there.
I thought that would be the most they could figure out. It's like, oh, yeah, it's 72 from a Blitzkrieg 93. Yeah, there's like 700 of those in the entire city. We're never going to find this guy. Case closed. worst detectives ever. I don't know if I would watch that show.
Yeah, I don't either.
Maybe. Speaking of shows, I guess, there was during the Super Bowl and for a little bit before that, there were the commercials for that TV show Backstrom. I don't know if you saw that, but
I saw it,
Dwight from The Office becomes
the...
Gets fired, moves to Portland. This isn't canon. I'm making this up.
No, I know.
Gets fired, moves to Portland, becomes a...
Kind of an asshole detective.
Yeah, he really does become a jerk. And, but I think that's just maybe like a more rough cut version of his character, Dwight, because Dwight would say some kind of racist things occasionally.
Yeah, some harsh things. But and that mean was just entirely how... what he says. He's not.
Yeah. And that's just how he was raised, man. You can't blame Dwight for those things.
No.
But no, he's a dick. And
have you been watching it?
Yeah, I've been. I'm caught up, I think.
Is it pretty good?
It's all right. It's almost your run of the mill detective.
It's a network television detective show, basically.
Yeah, the idea that they were trying to give you from the commercials is that what they love to do with detective shows is they give the guy a special ability. That's their gimmick, a way for him to be super focused on the case. You have Monk; he has a mental disorder that lets him notice things that people normally wouldn't see, and then they went ahead and copied that again with the Mentalist, except they gave it to a guy that didn't have autism, pretty much.
And just pretended to be a psychic.
Yeah.
And then USA took that and threw a comedic angle in, and you have Psych.
Psych. I really want to watch
Psych.
Psych
is pretty
that
funny.
That looks so fun.
It's a fun, funny show. There's a lot of references to a lot of obscure things, is pretty great.
You know they have a pineapple in every episode?
Yep.
Really weird.
It's become... there's a game called Spot the Pineapple for... for Psych, where you try and spot the pine, because sometimes they're really cleverly hidden.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah. I thought they were going to make it, like, really obvious.
Some of them are very, very obvious. Some of them are better hidden.
Okay, but...
some of them are, like, more like a pattern on a shirt and a photograph.
Anyway, but Backstrom, it's... they're sort of giving him a gimmick, but it's not an overt plot device that they're giving this guy. He does this thing where he's... putting himself in the person that he's questioning shoes.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if he's got somebody at the table and he's like, I'm you. I'm a 35-year-old who likes to cross-dress and go to clubs every Tuesday night or something. And he's just, like, making the people that he's interviewing very confused that he's saying these things. But I guess it's giving him an alternate perspective on the case or something. That's really as far as the gimmick extends.
Okay.
And most of the humor comes from him being a jerk to people, but still getting results.
Yeah.
And a lot of times he has theories about cases at the start that are like, they seem completely wrong to start with, but and you would think because of that, that he'd find a way to like make it loop back around and like, oh, look, he was right all along. But it usually ends up just him being like totally wrong. And then they bring it back like halfway.
Yeah.
And what they find out sort of correlates with the idea that he had from the beginning. It's just not 100%.
Mm.
So,
yeah. From what, when I watched the commercials, basically what I kind of took from it, just super short, you know, summary of it, was basically if House was a detective.
Yeah, he's pretty much, he has the same beard as House,
yeah,
kind of, except he's got a lot fatter.
Doesn't
of
have a
face.
Cane.
Does not have a cane. He could get one pretty easy, though, and I don't think people would really question it.
But, like, the personality type seemed very similar. I don't really care what people think or say about me. I'm going to say what I think. And
was House, like, being overtly racist, though?
Sometimes he would say things just to offend people. Just because I think he, like, enjoyed
it. Just so he could say it and then walk out of the room, and then the camera has reactions to watch as he leaves. That's not a bad idea. That's always fun. But it's a good thing they didn't turn him into Monk, I think, because you can only do that bit so many times, and then you get tired of it. I'm pretty sure they did that with Columbo, too. That was his trope. But he didn't have OCD. He was just... I said Monk had autism earlier. That was
it was OCD, not autism.
It might seem like he has autism sometimes because of how hung up he gets on how not straight his bottles are or something. Yeah.
See, that's like legit OCD, not when people say, oh, I just have OCD about this.
No, people really trivialize
OCD.
Mental disorders in general.
That's true.
Oh, I'm so depressed. It's raining today. You don't know what real depression is.
No, not even close.
It's...
or, you know, people say that they're OCD about wanting to have the dishes all clean. No, that's not OCD at all.
No, you just have a bit of a tendency to want things to be clean.
Yeah, you just want things a particular way. That does not make you OCD.
people with legitimate...
OCD is having to wash those dishes 14 times in a row in order to make sure that they're all clean.
It doesn't always manifest itself that way, no. though. Howie Mandel is technically... He technically has OCD.
Oh, really?
But he's... Yeah, but he's, like, mainly a germaphobe mm. is what that comes off as.
Yeah.
People with OCD, they often, like, scrub their hands down to,
they'll
like,
do the
where
same
they're...
tasks over and over and over again because they're constantly thinking it's not quite right.
Yeah. You get... The more accurate depiction of OCD is if you've ever seen The Aviator.
Yeah.
It's where Leonardo DiCaprio grows a really crappy beard and pees in jars for like 3 months. That's what real OCD is. Yeah. Monk doesn't... It's like a hyper-extended version of OCD.
Yeah.
Which, good on him that he lucked out and got that, because he can get paid to have OCD and be all like, oh yeah, the guy walked in here and then he like ate some cookies because there's crumbs on that plate and that's gross. And
well, first you have to clean off the plate, though.
Yep, he has to clean off the plate, and then they're all like, Monk, that's evidence, but it's got crumbs on it. They do that bit yeah. a lot, too.
Yeah.
I think Monk might have ran too long.
Probably.
Honestly.
Probably.
Seen almost the whole series on Netflix.
Yeah. I remember watching the finale when it first aired. That was pretty much
the
only...
Yeah, we can't spoil the finale.
No.
But... I think the Monk finale is one that you just don't ever spoil.
No, definitely not. But... That's, I think, the only episode of Monk I ever caught not as a rerun.
Really?
Yeah.
You watched it live?
Yeah, I actually watched it when it first broadcast.
Whoa. See, I don't even know what network Monk was airing on.
I forget. I thought it was USA, but...
Yeah?
It may have been a different network, too.
USA did Burn Notice, too, didn't mm-hmm. they?
Yeah.
They got some stuff.
They got some pretty good shows. I mean, they're not necessarily the best shows ever, but they're entertaining shows.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they did Psych, they did Burn Notice, they've done...
Oh, yeah, I forgot Psych ended.
Yeah, I forgot that, too.
That just means it'll be easier for me to catch up.
Yeah,
so.
Isn't the whole thing on Netflix now?
I think so.
I
really hope so. Because it's gonna be a long time before I have an opportunity to binge watch anything.
I know, same here.
But... You know, that time will come.
I know. I'm still figuring out when I'm going to squeeze in watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. before May.
Oh, yeah. Because at Ultron,
yeah.
Right?
I just am wondering whether I need to actually watch season two up to the point where, you know, before... Okay.
You,
I need to watch season two up to it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It ties in so tightly that you've got to be caught up. It did the same thing with Winter Soldier in season one.
Okay.
You've already seen Winter Soldier
oh, yeah.
because, so that's not a big deal. You don't have to watch the movie. But that's what I did when they were coming out. I was all caught up with the TV mm-hmm. show and just watching the forums, and they were saying, okay, so we figured out that as soon as Winter Soldier comes out, like the next day, they're going to be airing this episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and it's going to be covering the aftermath of what happens after
and
Winter
so
Soldier.
And so is kind of, right now, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of probably, you think, going to lead up to Age of Ultron?
I don't think it's going to lead up to Age of Ultron. It's probably going to do the same thing
it
did.
Is it going to drop any sort of little hints, do you think, I wonder?
For Ultron, I don't think it has been. It's been dropping hints for things beyond Ultron.
Mm, interesting.
So, like, the Inhumans timeline, it's been doing stuff like
that.
I
keep forgetting
that
they're doing
that. Yeah, it looks like a really good comic run.
It's going to be an interesting one, because there's some interesting characters, and some of them they're going to be difficult to portray. Like, there's one dude that doesn't talk.
Oh,
at
well,
all.
They had one dude that only says four words through the entire movie in Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's true.
I think they can pull this off.
Yeah, well, the thing with the guy that doesn't talk, which ironically is their leader.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is he mind-bending?
I think they have a telepath on their team somewhere that allows him to communicate. But basically, it's like his voice is so powerful, if he were to even whisper, it would just like completely obliterate.
Oh, it's that guy.
Yeah, it basically would be like Hiroshima-level destruction if he were like to whisper
He's
something.
He's doing it out of a courtesy for everybody else.
Yeah.
Sorry, if I talk, the world will explode.
Yeah. So if I yell at you, the whole world just goes poof.
I need to write down everything.
And they live on the moon.
I only communicate via leet speak and emojis. That's my only form of communication. I use my space phone.
In modern day times, that wouldn't be that big of a deal to not actually physically speak anymore.
I hate emojis, though.
Yeah.
They suck so much. Have you ever used an emoji in your life? I haven't either. I've only received them. I will never reciprocate them because I think I can use my words well enough. I fancy myself a wordsmith. I think I can go ahead and communicate what I'm thinking or my general disdain for something, which is usually what I'm talking about, to somebody without having to supplement it with a picture that somehow splits my message into like three separate text messages. Like, it's very weird. Kirsty sends me an emoji pretty often. It's a heart.
Mm-hmm.
Aw, that's why you do that. And, but it actually looks like, it's not a stupid heart, you know?
Yeah.
It just looks like the outline of one that you would be doing with your less than sign 3.
Yeah.
Except it's connected, and I hit my microphone, except it's connected and it's oriented the right way.
Okay.
So it looks like a legitimate heart,
yeah.
You know? But whenever she uses that, and I'm not saying, and she's going to listen to this and say, Kirsty, I'm not saying don't send the hearts because I'm fine with them. But a lot of times if the message is longer than maybe like 8 or 9 words and that emoji is used, it'll decide to split that message into 2, sometimes 3 parts, depending on how long the message is.
That's weird.
It is very weird. And it's got something to do with like the size of the message. So that's another reason why I don't want to use emojis is because I'm on a limited data plan.
Oh.
And if I start using them, which I never would do, but let's pretend we're in that alternate universe where I'm all into the leet speak and communicating like a 12-year-old, I'll go ahead and use a whole bunch of emojis and then, my data plan, it's totally dead now. I can't even like go on Reddit and look at the latest cat pictures. Everything's finished. I can do nothing.
Yeah.
I have to just turn the data off on my phone and just like and go through internet withdrawals and scratch up my face, and then my mouse hand twitches until I can get back home to my desk, which I haven't used in like the past 4 days because it's everything I own has been on the floor. It's been a very weird week.
Yeah. You're hitting rock bottom. No.
I'm not hitting rock bottom. You'll know that happens when I start using the computer underneath my desk again, the one that could probably drive if it was a person. I need to do the math on it, but I'm pretty sure it's like there. It is on the cusp of like going, okay, take me to the DMV. What the? Stop growing. You need to
grow so fast.
You need to slow down. My sister got her license recently, so congratulations to her. I don't know.
Does that make you feel old at all?
No.
Okay.
I try not to feel old because I'm not.
No.
If you look at the number that I am,
It's not.
I'm not old. It doesn't make sense to call myself that. So
no.
I'm just gonna take myself out of that pool. I just don't know whose car she's going to drive.
Mm.
She drove mine a lot, and I would definitely notice because sometimes when I would get in the car, oh my God, my knees are like in the steering wheel, and there's imprints of them on my knees now. I need to adjust the seat.
Well, it's like before I got my first car, when I would drive my mom's car, the Sonata, the blue car.
You'd go the opposite way.
Yeah, I have to move the seat back.
Yeah.
But the thing is, when I would get in the car, basically if my mom or sister, or not my sister, my sister wasn't driving. If my mom was driving the car before me, because she has really short legs, she has to sit the seat really far forward. Like, she would get to the point where I'm like, okay, I can't rotate my legs to get in the car. What the heck? Because, like, I would try and rotate my legs and they would hit the...
Tunk.
Yeah, they would hit the bodywork of the car or the dashboard, and so I'd have to like sit down sideways, reach down, grab the handle, slide the seat backward, and then swing my legs over.
Oh Jesus!
So
that's.
And I'm like, well, obviously my mom's driving the car last because my dad you have to move it like a notch back further from him.
You and your dad are almost the same height.
I just have longer legs than him. He does.
Yeah, I'm also cursed with long leg syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
It does absolutely nothing for me. Contrary to what you might think, I can't outrun Usain Bolt.
No.
Which, somebody did a math on this. That guy can run faster than you're legally allowed to drive in a school zone. Dude's fast.
He's quick.
Yeah.
I mean,
congratulations.
He wouldn't be able to do that for very long, but...
No, definitely not. But my point originally was my sister went and got her license.
Yes.
And it was like $82 to get the
actual
license.
Why is that? I wonder. Because when I renewed my license, maybe it's because that's her first license that she got.
I'm thinking it's that.
Because
how much did it cost when you renewed it?
When I renewed mine, $54.
God.
Because it's $9 per year, and they upped it, so now it's good for 6 years.
Dude, I'm already going to be spending so much money on my birthday. I don't want to spend an extra $54 just to drive to the bars.
Yeah.
That's stupid. Unless, like, people are buying my drinks for me, which I guess is a
thing
on your
birthday.
Which most
places, though, they'll card you before you even get in.
Yeah, so what's the...
They'll card you at the door.
Yeah, I'm going to have to...
And it has to be a valid ID. It can't just be an expired one, because you're... License does expire on your 21st birthday.
It does. And I'm going to have to do that thing where, like, okay, my new license is going to be in the mail, but I have this paper one.
You just keep the paper one with your punched one.
Yeah, but it's that whole, I got to...
Or you just renew it a couple days in advance.
Will they still rotate it for me, though? Because I want it to be the
horizontal.
The landscape one.
Well, it's like the lady at the DMV told me, basically, is you just, after you get, because you have your horizontal one, you just go in there and say that, you know, you don't like the picture, the way that the picture turned out, can you get it retaken? You can do that once.
Oh, really?
And then it'll get inverted and get a different picture.
And that'll be free?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe so. Or it's like $5 or something like that.
I don't know. I was just like, I was just going to wait until the day of my birthday and be like, hey, give me my,
give me my
adult card, please.
Yeah, I'm sure most places wouldn't mind, but I have heard of some places won't accept the paper ones, which is stupid.
Bars won't?
Yeah, they won't, because theoretically they say, oh, well, anybody with a printer could make
one. Whoa, it looks like you printed this off at the library. Yeah, because who goes to libraries anymore? You think somebody my age is going to be going into a place?
And besides, I have a better quality printer probably than the library does anyways.
I don't know.
I just think printers at the library probably suck anyways.
Printers suck. Can we go ahead and call them out on that now?
Yes, they do. And it sucks that classes still require you to print stuff off.
Yeah, two of my classes do that.
Only two.
Yeah, two out of my four, so it's 50% loss on my part.
Yeah,
they don't have to be printed every time, but the fact that I still have to do it, can we step out of the Stone Age for a second and not rely on a device that decides to just not exist on your network at any given time? And then 1 hour later, oh, here's that thing that you wanted, but five times. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Sorry for slacking off on that earlier. I did it more times to, you know, redeem myself. So, why don't you give me some more toner, dickface? God, I hate printers. They suck so much.
Yeah.
We're going to be without them soon.
Hopefully.
I really hope. But if I can go ahead and make a recommendation for people, don't buy an inkjet printer because the cartridges cost more than blood.
Yeah.
Literally. Get yourself a laser printer because, one, it has lasers.
Lasers make everything better.
Fuck yeah. And two, it's...
Although, aren't color laser printers really kind of expensive right now?
They're expensive at the initial purchase.
Well, yeah.
But the ink that you buy for it is going to pay itself off in cheapness.
Okay. Because I thought that the color laser jet printers were still kind of expensive for everything.
They probably are. I don't know how much they
because some
are
people
right
still
now.
Need color printing, which is most people that need color printing are the ones that still have inkjets.
Yeah.
I know that's the reason why my parents, when they got their new printer, they got an inkjet, was because they wanted the ability to print color.
Yeah, there's this really huge printer on campus. I don't know if you've seen it, but it is built only to print posters.
Yeah.
I'm positive it's an inkjet thing. Feed in this like 3 or 4 foot wide piece of paper, and it takes like an hour to print
one. And it comes
out,
it's just soaking wet.
Probably. I just watched it coming out, and I can see
it
glistening.
You know, it's like when you print with like a big picture on an inkjet printer, your paper pretty much will wrinkle itself up anyways because it gets so wet.
Oh, I haven't had that happen. The paper wrinkles?
Well, it's like, you know, it's like if you have a big wet spot in the middle of your page, because that's essentially what you do, because you're spraying a bunch of liquid onto it. So sometimes the picture will actually like wrinkle up a little bit.
I haven't had that happen to me.
That's why you kind of got to dry them quickly. You got to stretch it out, kind of blow on it a little bit.
Yeah, I have a technique, I think, for the last time I printed, like, an image in color, I think. I don't know when that was, but I'm sure it happened. Was just as it comes out of the printer, it's like you're delivering a baby. Just hold it with both hands, and then this is not what you do with a baby. It's only the receiving. And then you just, like, wave it up and down in the air gently. So, like, an even...
I do that while occasionally, like, blowing side to side, kind of...
Blowing on it?
Yeah.
That's a risky move. You risk...
Well, I don't do that immediately. I wait for it to dry for about 30 seconds and then do a very light blow on it, just enough to get air moving across it.
Your technique is solid. I deem it worthy of print. See, if we have
it's
to
sad
do
that,
this
yeah,
crap
I know.
With printers...
We shouldn't have to in the first place.
We don't have to do it with 3D printers.
I know. I can't wait till next year I actually get to play with those.
Oh, you're going to do that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I told you about that class, didn't I? That has the... I think it's a class just for 3D printing.
Hmm.
Is it going to be that one? Or
I don't think so. I think it's just one of my MET classes, one of my manufacturing classes.
Awesome.
It actually has a part where we deal with 3D printing.
All
we're
right.
actually doing a lot of cool stuff in one of my labs anyways. We did sand casting with metal, molten metal.
Ooh.
Which was pretty cool.
All right.
I think next week we do injection molding.
Oh, so that's plastics?
Yep.
All right.
Okay,
can you, this is really selfish, but can you make a Rubik's Cube for me? I have this idea.
Like when I get to the 3D printer level?
I don't know if this would be, it could probably work on a 3D printer. It might be easier for 3D printing,
yeah.
actually.
Well, because I don't get to pick what I injection mold or what I molten cast with the...
Oh, they assign it to you?
We have certain things that we use or have, or preset molds, because... The thing with injection molding is you have to have the mold to inject into.
Yeah. Yeah, they got to give you that. But,
yeah.
All right. But this would probably be more of a 3D printing project. Mm-hmm. But and I know you get assigned those for school. But if you have the opportunity and the free time, like, get me over to the engineering department. I want to figure out how to make a Rubik's Cube because I don't know if I've mentioned this on the show before, actually. I'm a bit of a Rubik's Cube enthusiast. I've got four of them on the shelf right now. Only one of them I know how to solve completely because the other two are really large iterations that just make your brain hurt by looking at them.
Yeah, you got the 3x3, you got the 4x4, you got the 5x5, and then you got the 7x7?
As a 7x7, I couldn't find a 6x6 in very
and
short
you didn't
notice.
You 2x2 because that's just...
I do have a 2x2.
Oh.
It's not my original.
Is that like super basic and simple?
Oh, it's a cakewalk,
baby steps.
Man. Yeah, it's clown shoes. It's so easy to... With the way that, but it's really weird because maybe I should tell the story of the Rubik's Cube. Like,
sure,
why did I
don't think we've ever actually told this story.
This is so weird. All
I
right,
because I remember that was the thing we would try and like time how quickly you could solve one in intermediate school,
untapped
or not
ground.
In middle school.
This is no, dude, high school.
Oh yeah, that's right, freshman.
This
year.
Is a pretty late thing that I learned actually.
Yeah.
The reason I want to learn it is because do you remember Brody Gandy?
Yep,
he learned it. First, I think he might have been one of the first people to learn it out of the entire school.
Yeah.
And it looked really fucking awesome. So I just saw it and went, I want to learn how to do that. That's exactly the whole line of thinking. That's exactly how it went. So a week later, I figured out how to do it. But I used a completely different set of instructions that he learned it with.
Yeah.
So our techniques are completely independent of each other. Mine is definitely slower.
Oh, I thought yours was faster.
No.
I thought you guys timed each other, or we mixed two of them up, and I thought you beat him slightly.
It may
have just been that yours wasn't quite as shuffled as well, but I don't know.
Yeah, when it comes to scrambling Rubik's Cubes, a lot of it is the luck of the scramble.
Yeah.
But I believe the way that he learned it did end up with faster results, because the way that you arrange certain things, he could just, like, flick certain sections of it, and they would just clock over.
Well, yeah, because he tore us apart and, like, smeared Vaseline in the center of it or
something. I did that with mine, too, but I never really got the whole flicking the corners down, because I would either do it not far enough.
Or
usually
too far.
Usually not far enough. I may not have put enough lube in it. That's what she said. it wouldn't quite flick over, so I ended up, like, just learning how to turn whole sides really fast by moving my whole hand. I don't remember what my original point was, but...
Rubik's Cubes.
Yeah, yeah. Brody kind of inspired me to learn how to solve the Rubik's Cube, and my collection expanded from there, and I never really learned far beyond that. But I still remember how to do the 3x3.
Yeah, and then don't you also have, like, more eccentric ones, like a globe or something like that?
Yeah, there's a globe one, but it's when you break it down to its basic parts, it's still a 3x3. It's just got weird shapes because of the continents. So you just have to visualize those as colors.
Yeah.
The shapes as colors, and then that's fine. But this is probably getting too visual for people that are listening to this in audio format, which is, guess what, everybody?
Yeah.
But I want Probably one of the worst things about Rubik's Cubes is that it uses stickers for the colors.
Oh, yeah.
If you use it for long enough, they will fall off and they will be annoying.
You could paint it.
I tried that once, actually.
Model paint?
I don't remember what paint I used. I should probably, like, research
the paint
more.
Or you could just get some rattle can for plastics and just rattle can one side, rotate it, spray the next side.
Yeah, that would probably look a lot better, actually.
Then just be a solid color. Or you could just take a lot more time with a model paint and a couple brushes.
That'd be a fun project to do, actually.
And just paint the little recesses.
I think I just bought the wrong paint originally because I did get...
Because some paints won't bond to plastics. And sometimes you have to rough up plastics a little bit with, like, some super fine sandpaper.
That's what I tried to do the first time. Mm. Like, I took all the stickers off of the orange side, sorry.
Yeah.
And I peeled all those off. I sandpapered it a bit. And then I got some rattle can. I don't know if I researched it enough. And I just sprayed it on. And it looked like somebody put Cheeto dust on it. And it rubbed off like there was Cheeto dust on it.
That's
so
weird.
I probably need to find better paint. But what I really want is... still a plastic cube, but I want like some faces slightly depressed on all the sides and then just like fill that with additional plastic.
Mm.
So it'd be all smooth on all the sides, but really glossy and everything's plastic and nothing wears off.
That'd be cool.
That would be really cool. The tough part is making the insides of the cube. I don't know if you've ever pulled one apart before.
Not really.
It's got some weird shapes. It's not just a bunch of cubes that are stuck together. It's got weird interlocking shapes that pop together and like a central mechanism that spins on each. It's really hard to describe.
Yeah.
But you'd have to pull one apart and look at it and probably model each piece individually.
Yeah, and print out each piece.
And snap them together.
Yeah.
It'd be really hard to make.
Be probably labor-intensive and expensive.
Oh, yeah. But... that's my dream project if I had a 3D printer.
Someday, we'll all have 3D printers.
I hope so.
Yeah. Actually, there was somebody, you know, the whole you wouldn't download a car thing?
Yeah.
Somebody actually did 3D print the bodywork for a car.
The whole car?
The whole bodywork for a car.
Jesus Christ. Did they just have a gigantic 3D printer?
I'm assuming so, because if you have the ability to print an entire bodywork of a car... You obviously have a lot of space in a big 3D printer.
And a lot of money.
Yeah.
The material for 3D printers is not cheap.
No, not at all.
How much is it off the top of your head?
I have no idea. I've never even looked into it.
Let's assume $35 a pound.
Okay.
And just go from there. That's probably more than human blood, so that's... we started
considerably.
We started on normal printers originally, so that's what I'm basing this off of. But I had that whole idea for the Rubik's Cube way before 3D printers were even, like, conceived. Well, they were probably conceived, but they weren't actually being
built. Before they were mainstream.
Yeah. Are they mainstream now,
If you say 3D printing to somebody, people know what you're talking about now.
Okay, yeah, that does count as mainstream then.
It's not really obscure anymore.
Nope, it's a real idea.
Yeah.
Which
is cool.
Really cool. I'm jazzed about that.
Yeah.
If I'm going to go ahead and be old.
The idea is that you can email a part to somebody.
Yeah.
Because you saw the thing where NASA basically emailed the ISS a wrench.
No, what? No, I didn't hear about
basically, this. Basically, because the ISS has a 3D printer now.
All right.
And basically, they needed some sort of a wrench or something for something that they didn't have. And NASA's like, okay, we'll send you the part. And then they emailed them a file for the part, and they just hit print and printed out the wrench that they needed.
Yeah!
So NASA emailed them a wrench.
Oh, that is so cool. Never would I have thought a sentence like that would be said ever.
Or make sense.
And it happened. You can email physical parts to people now. That is amazing.
I know.
I've never felt a 3D part though.
No.
I just want to know what that plastic is like. Oh, you do?
Yeah, it depends. Some of them you can get, you know, where it's cheaper, where it's a lot rougher and a lot rougher surface, because there's actually various different ways to do 3D printing.
Is it just the kind of plastic that you're using, or
it's partially
the
kind
that
of it's mostly the method that's used.
Okay.
Makes kind of a rougher surface on it, kind of like unpolished metal. Or like, you know, if you were to lathe something and it's kind of got a little bit of a rough surface, if you go kind of quickly.
You can't see your face in it, but it's shiny.
It's a fairly smooth surface, but it's still got ridges in it.
Okay.
So a bit of sandpaper over it would smooth it out really nicely.
Have you used a lathe before?
Yeah. Well, I'm building a gyroscope for for my mat class.
Cool.
Yeah.
Is everybody doing that?
Yep. Or... It's of junior mech courses for we build a gyroscope that we get to keep.
That's awesome.
Every single one of us. So I've we've lathed the center thing that it spins on. I'm working on the actual weight in the center.
I just realized that might be like a standard exercise for engineering majors because I'm pretty sure my dad has a handmade gyroscope.
It's a WSU engineering thing.
Really?
Yep. I'm actually kind of curious to see it, to see if it's the same exact thing.
It's on his desk at work. I'll take a picture of it if I stop by sometime. But yeah, it's
Because I know the plans are from like 2002 or something like that, the schematic that we're using.
Oh, really? They've updated it.
Yeah, I think they've redrawn it a little bit. But I think
gyroscope technology has evolved so much.
I don't know. But yeah, basically, yeah, we're working on building a gyroscope. And then, because the lab for, it's all part of this one class, because we're in lab every week, and it's split into three different things. So first week is actually doing labs like, you know, sand casting or injection molding. Mm-hmm. Second week is more computer like CAD and CNC.
Okay.
Which is pretty cool.
So you're making the molds or the parts for the molds?
Like drawing up the parts and then using a CNC machine to like machine that part out.
Oh, all right.
CNC machines are pretty cool too.
Yeah. We had a really crappy one in high school that we would use on wood mostly.
Yeah. I built I made a chessboard with it.
Nice.
Yeah. I still actually have it.
The actual chessboard?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I never
got around to using it.
The dark squares have faded a bit, but it's because they didn't have very dark dye.
Just restain them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then the third lab is in the machine shop where we're actually building our gyroscope.
All right.
So
is it a big gyroscope?
It's a decent size.
Yeah. I wonder what would happen if you built a gigantic gyroscope.
I don't know.
Like, would that be super destructive? It could be. It has the potential to be.
Yeah, it could be. It's got a lot of mass.
Yeah, because I urge everybody listening, if you've never played with a gyroscope before, just go buy one on Amazon really quick and check back in 2 days because they are so fun.
They are pretty cool.
It really seems like they're just like, gravity? What's that? It seems like it's doing that, but no, it totally complies with the laws of physics.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like a tagline for something. I don't know what it would be.
Hoverboards. No, I don't know. Because it doesn't, actually.
Yeah, I'm...
It depends.
I don't know. I mean...
It depends on how we...
We talk about the hoverboard a lot.
Yes.
Because they're coming in this September. Year. They're coming in September. But do they actually take the laws of physics and shove them into a dumpster?
Not necessarily. It depends on how you think that the technology works.
How do you think it works? Because I've never thought of the technology
really thought of it. I would think of it basically similar to a maglev train, how it's... Because the Earth has a magnetic field.
Okay, and I have actually thought about that before.
And you just basically would have to have it emit a field that is the opposite of that.
Yeah.
And then that would cause it to repel each other. Or no, it would be the same because opposites attract and like repels like.
Yep.
So if you put out an equal magnetic field out of it, just at a lower power, it will repel it, but not very much.
But the Earth's magnetic field is
non-uniform,
really weak.
And it's non-uniform.
It's going to be... It doesn't seem
so unless there's some sort of a computer on there that's constantly monitoring the gravitational field, which seems a bit expensive.
Bit expensive, but doable.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like a modification on a compass, really.
Yeah, theoretically.
I mean, a compass is just
pointing
directions.
You just have to have it constantly taking in data and doing a simple, running it through a simple algorithm and adjusting the gravitational field accordingly.
I don't think it'd be that.
No.
I don't know how I'd make it.
And also, since the Earth's gravitational field isn't, I mean, yes, the magnetic field is there, but it's not very strong, so theoretically you wouldn't need a ton of power in order to create an equal force in order to repel it.
I don't know. I think...
I don't know how well that would work, though, because that's one thing that I've heard theorized for, you know, ways that it could work or how Superman could fly too.
What?
I don't know.
Superman uses the Earth's magnetic field to fly?
Apparently, that's one theory I heard some people trying to scientifically explain superhero powers. It was kind of a stupid...
Dumb.
It was a stupid documentary, but I couldn't help but watch it just to see how...
Documentary?
Okay, not documentary. Okay. You know what I mean? It wasn't...
Where did you watch this?
I don't remember. Honestly, I think it was Science Channel, so... Because there was nothing else on. It's before I had Netflix.
Science Channel is in a decline. But this is very old, though.
Yeah.
They tried to...
It was like the Science of Superheroes or something was what it was called. it was kind of trying to like scientifically explain theoretically ways that superhero things could exist.
That is a very I almost said interesting, but a very dumb venture.
Yeah.
You don't
I just turned it on because there was nothing else on.
There's some things that I guess you could. It's sci-fi.
Yeah.
You don't put it on the science channel.
Yeah.
It seems like a bit of a contradiction of your brand.
It's like what? History Channel having aliens on everything.
Right, because they got that guy that has a sports degree, but his hair is turning into an eagle. Although Nicolas Cage's hair is doing that too. Actually, can we talk about Nicolas Cage for a second? We bag on him.
Oh yeah.
So much.
He has done good work though.
He has done very good work. I especially liked him in Face Off.
Yeah, Face Off. The original National Treasure was decent.
Yep. And
second one was
also no, I'm thinking of Face Off again. Bad Lieutenant is
I haven't seen that.
I haven't seen all of it. But what I have seen is pretty, it's not Oscar worthy, but it's riveting.
Yeah.
I do like that.
Kick-Ass he was decent in that.
Yeah, he was like just a knockoff Batman that actually killed people. That was cool. And I haven't seen Lord of War yet.
I haven't either. I do want to see it. I heard that one's pretty good.
Yeah. It's got that that bit where he's like just, I don't know, I saw some video where it has that, what's that one song where Eminem raps super fast and everybody's like, oh my God, it's so revolutionary because you can't understand him.
I don't know.
Oh, it's not that? Oh, okay.
Oh, I think it was because, yes, he can do that, but also he's a minority in the rap community.
Because he's white.
Exactly.
Racism, apparent in every facet of our lives.
But it's like inverse racism. Because he's white and therefore he's
inverse racism.
Therefore, he's automatically considered inferior in the rap game.
Many people would disagree with that. There's no such thing as inverse racism.
That's true. But
it's just racism.
I know that. But from what we typically think of in white-black racism.
Yeah, I guess so. But that's because we're white and we decided.
But I'm white.
It's my favorite part of Arrested Development. That is pretty great. It happens in the first season.
I know.
It makes me so happy. What was my point, though? Nicolas Cage,
yeah,
right?
What about him?
Okay. I think we hate on the guy too much. We need to reconsider the role that Nicolas Cage is playing in our lives. Because he's willing to do all these crappy movies.
He's willing to be a laughingstock. He can't know that he's not.
He knows he's that what people think of him.
But he just doesn't care. He's willing to do whatever.
It's not really that he's willing to do these things, though. It's just that he needs the money.
Yeah.
He's in that position where he does pretty much anything that's given to him because he is an actor. He wants to put himself out there.
He wants to act. He doesn't want to just be all like, ooh, I'm going to be snooty with my roles.
And he'll be inadvertently put in crappy roles. Yeah. So he has to do a whole bunch of bad stuff to eventually get the good role and pay off all those bad decisions that he made.
There was one or two of them, I forget what they were called. There's one or two of them that were actually fairly recent movies that came out that he was in that were supposedly actually not too bad.
Yeah? Were they like action stuff?
I don't remember. I thought one of them was more of kind of like a thriller, but I don't know.
I'll have a look through his filmography here. How recent would you say they were?
Within the last couple years.
Yeah? There's one called Rage.
Okay.
One just called Joe. Oh, I forgot. He was in that animated movie, The Croogs.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that ever turned a profit, but it probably did.
Probably. It's animated. Most anime movies consistently do.
Rage got a 5, so that's not it. There was that Ghost Rider sequel got a 4.3. oh man,
so bad. I never saw it, thankfully.
I think Sorcerer's Apprentice sucked.
Yeah,
did you watch it?
No, I just know it looked like it would have, quite honestly.
Kick-Ass was really far back.
Yeah, I don't know what it was, but maybe it's just because people were Nicolas Cage fanboys trying to resurrect his
image. Oh my God, he is in so many things.
I know. Well, it's on IMDb. How many things is he listed as for actor?
For actor, he's under 80 things.
That's okay. That's a considerable amount.
Yeah, and we got to give him more credit for that.
And he's probably a leading role in most of those movies.
Probably. I'm not sure which. Raising Arizona, he was definitely a leading role in that. Have you seen Moonstruck?
I have not.
If he's on the poster, it counts as a leading role. Nope. Time to Kill, I think he was a leading role for that. No, he needs to be... Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. He is making the craziest face.
That's what he specializes in.
Time to Kill. Look at that. Oh, my God.
Oh, gosh.
Well, guys, just Google this poster right now.
There's one other one. Oh, and then
they have in photos,
like,
he's doing the thousand-yard stare off on the edge of the poster.
That looks honestly like a cover of a novel you would see at the grocery store.
It is. Oh, my God. It's like something my mom would have probably read in 2003. Not that I'm disparaging my mom's novels.
Did she kind of pick up those kind of things? Did she pick up the Winco novels?
She had some books that had those kind of covers to them. I forget the name of the author. I think it was, for some reason, I wanted to say Judy Blume. It's not Judy Blume. It's Jody Picoult.
Okay.
You ever heard of that?
I have heard of it.
Okay. I'll probably look up some covers right that if I know how to spell
I just always jokingly call those either grocery store novels or Winco novels or Winco novels.
Yeah, that's...
I would always think of those because I would always go look at the magazines at Winco occasionally when we'd go there, and then there'd be the stack of those and I'm like, who reads this stuff?
Yeah, it's there's always like a set kind of book that you find in the grocery store.
Oh, yeah.
And then out of nowhere you find 50 Shades of Grey, because that's okay to put in the magazine section.
Yeah,
it's very weird. You go to a Winco, they have Cosmopolitan covered up with a plastic square to hide the subjects they're putting on the cover, and you go two aisles over, there's 50 Shades of Grey, no cover on it.
Yeah.
But that's probably because they don't have subject lines on their cover or something, and people may not necessarily know what the heck it is, and people don't really pick
I think most people know what it is.
It's entered the general consciousness.
Yeah.
Are you going to be forced to watch
no.
Do you think?
I don't think so.
Does Therese want you to watch it?
I don't think so, no.
Does she want to watch it?
I don't think so. I don't think either of us want to see it.
That's a solid relationship, then. Because
the sad thing is that movie has already made like $250 million.
Billion?
It's made like $260 million. No. As sad as that is, it's made like $260 million already. I know. There's a lot of squirming old ladies out there.
Twilight. That is my descriptor, so I... have I said it on the show before?
I think so.
It's Twilight fan fiction.
I know.
I can't believe that people can make so much money off of such a stupid
thing. Such garbage.
Thing.
My sister went and saw it.
Oh, God. Did she come back and describe it?
Not really.
Ugh. Did she drag her boyfriend to see it?
Yep.
Poor dude.
Yep.
Next my time I see
like,
that guy,
I think
I'm
my
giving
dad's
like
read a... most of the books, too.
Why?
I don't know. I think he read them just to see what...
Was he looking for some tips?
No, I think he's just like, okay, what's all the hype about him? Yeah, I got it.
Tips.
I got it. I think he was just trying to see what all the hype was about, and then he's just like...
It's not there.
Yeah, exactly.
But I can't believe he read as much as he did.
I don't know if he's just was hoping that they would get better as they went along, or because some books do that. Like the first book kind of is mediocre.
Oh, and you forget that there's sequels. Are they going to make sequel
movies?
I don't
know.
Or is this going to bomb so hard?
I think give it as much money as it's already made. I think sequels are pretty much guaranteed.
I don't know. I mean, if the ratings are so low,
ratings are pretty low on it.
Yeah, isn't it like at a 4-point something?
I think so. Last time we looked,
but what you need to look at this.
But the
movie,
thing is. If movies were made only on ratings, then Michael Bay would have gone out of business a long time ago.
But he breaks in the money, though. Yeah,
exactly.
There's the equation.
Hollywood is run by the dollar.
But here's what you need to look at. 50 Shades of Grey right now is pulling a 4.1.
Yeah.
But what you really need to look at, the interesting part is how polarizing the ratings
are. I know,
we
did that, yeah.
Do we already look at this on
the
show?
I think we looked at it, not on the show, we looked at it at Andrew's house.
Okay, so let's look at it on the show, I guess.
The breakdown of the graph.
Right now, there's a 39% of the vote is one stars, and 23% is 10 stars.
Yeah.
So it's like a real fight between people to equalize the vote, and that's almost what you're getting. But the one stars way outweigh the tens by more than 10%, 15%. So you're going to go ahead and get that 4.1.
Yeah.
And it shows demographics, too.
Right, which is the really interesting part.
Males are just males in general are giving it an average rating of 2.9. Females give it a 6. That is a really
huge disparity. That's double.
That's absolutely insane to me. Females under 18 giving it a 7.1. That's very disconcerting to me.
Because considering, I mean, it's not targeted at their audience in the first place.
It really shouldn't be, but they're allowed to go watch it.
Because if they're 17 or older, they can go see it. Or if parents with them, which...
Oh, God, why would you bring your 15-year-old kid to
this
movie?
Oh, it's like, I read a thing on Reddit. It was like, what movie did you go to with your family that you regret? Somebody was like, Wolf of Wall Street. they took their grandma to see Wolf of Wall Street because she was a fan of Scorsese.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it depends on what Scorsese movies she's watching.
I think basically they were saying that she was a really big fan of The Aviator and The Departed.
Oh, well, okay.
But
yeah,
The Wolf Departed compared to Wolf of Wall Street is a big difference.
Yeah. So Scorsese has like gotten gradually more extreme, I think.
I think he was just, with Wolf of Wall Street, he was going, okay, how far can I push the envelope before they give me an NC-17?
And still get an Oscar. Can it happen? Maybe. Not for Leo. I know Leo's not going to get it.
Or at least get nominated.
He got nominated for so much. I don't know. I don't know what he won, though.
I don't know that he won anything.
He might have gotten, like, principal photography or something.
Yeah, cinematography.
Does IMDb show Oscars for individual movies? I'll probably look that up.
Anyways,
demographics.
Yeah, the demographics. They're super split.
Okay, 18 to 29. Males, 2.8. Females, 6.
Okay.
This is still a really
huge disparity.
So it's about the average.
It's the average for demographics right about there.
The 18 to 29 is probably what's going to go see it. I mean, yeah. But then you move into the middle-aged part, and it remains, it's almost the same. 30 to 44, males give it a 3. 30 to 44, females, 5.9.
So it's about the same.
It goes up for dudes, down for ladies, but not by a whole lot.
No.
Barely
it's still
anything.
In less than a 3.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
But way less people are definitely attending in that demographic.
Or are reading it online. You gotta think about that.
Oh, yeah. Because computer usage, do you know how?
Yeah, maybe. In that age demographic, using IMDb, maybe.
Yeah. And then let's see. I can look at awards for Wolf of Wall Street. I'm doing like two things at the same time. Okay, 45 plus, they don't show seniors, so let's just assume seniors or something. They just wandered in the movie and they're like, Janice, what is with all these whips and chains? Males, 45 plus, 3.0. Females, 4.7. The numbers get closer together.
The older you get.
The older you get.
The more you realize that it's garbage.
Yeah, you're just walking in and then realizing, oh, this is a bunch of shit, and then you walk out 30 minutes
but
in.
The 18 and under is like a 7.1 with women?
18 and under was, 7.1.
Oh, my God.
And that's over 1,500 votes.
That is so sad.
Yeah, none of these, actually the only one of these categories that's under 1,000 is females 45 and over. All right. And that got the 3.
If you're taking anything from this entire show, don't go see this movie.
Yeah, if we haven't said that before,
yeah.
Do not give this money to, what studio even greenlighted this?
I have no idea.
Bad choice. Dumb
obviously
premise.
Not because they're making money on it. That's the sad part.
Yeah. Anyway, Wolf of Wall Street didn't win a single Oscar.
Yeah, but it got nominated for a bunch of stuff.
It got nominated. Leo got Best Performance nomination again.
just to kind of twist the knife a little bit more. Remind him that he's never going to get one.
He won a Golden Globe for this movie, though.
Yeah.
For Best
Actor.
But
nobody cares about the Golden Globes.
They don't?
I don't know. I don't know anybody really cares about the Oscars that much either.
Yeah, it's been definitely going down. I don't know if you saw this on Reddit today, but somebody put a statue.
They're Sunday, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so. Sunday,
I'm still mad that they didn't even nominate the Lego Movie for Best Animated Picture.
That is very dumb. We're just marking that in history really quick.
Yeah.
But because the main point is somewhere that's a main staple in the Oscars ceremony, somebody made a statue of the Oscar statuette,
right.
But full-sized and snorting two loans of cocaine.
Great.
Yeah. It might still be there. Who knows?
Great.
I don't know if they got rid of it. Jonah Hill got nominated for supporting role.
Which is... kind of cool.
Yeah, I guess like when he wants to do serious things,
he can do it.
Yeah, And but you can't. You look at him and he's a teddy bear. You don't immediately want to give him the Oscar. Scorsese got best achievement in directing.
Best director, basically. I think that's the official title for it.
They just give him a different name.
I think that's the official title for it.
Okay. Best writing and then best motion picture of the year. But somehow they nominated four people for this. I don't know.
Best picture, I think, is the producers.
Oh, not the directors?
I think so.
Really?
I think so.
The director should get that.
Well, usually the director, it's like the director and some of the producers, but then Scorsese was a producer as well.
Yeah. You know what? I might actually be watching the Oscars this year. I don't know if I get that channel, but I'll at least be...
I'll just keep tabs on who what wins what.
Yeah, I'll at least be hitting F5 on somebody's blog because I want to know, is Interstellar just going to win everything?
Interstellar didn't get nominated for hardly anything.
What? I haven't been following
it. It got nominated for like best soundtrack or something like that. Special effects. That's about it.
Really?
It got nominated for the you know, the leftover categories.
Ah, dumb. It's whatever. It's still people are still gonna be
Guardians of the Galaxy. I think got nominated for best hair and makeup and sound though.
Okay, hair and makeup, fine, whatever.
Oh yeah,
that's good.
That movie takes that one handed.
They actually painted Zoe Saldana green.
Yeah.
So
and they took like 40 different tries before they found the right shade of green.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Would she, like, blend in with the other CGI? Or...
No, it's initially that it was it looked like she was just going to throw up because it was that shade of green. And then it was...
Sick green.
Yeah, it was sick green.
Mr. And then, Yuck green.
And then it was super too far green, looking like you're, like, a 1950s Martian.
Yeah.
And then they kind of had to find a happy medium between the two.
Okay, but they did find it.
They did.
It.
And then doing the Drax...
Strange to get an award just for that, I guess, but whatever.
Well, and then Drax. I mean, doing all that prosthetic...
Was he full body paint?
That was prosthetics and stuff that they applied on. It took like 3 hours to do every time they would go filming.
Jesus.
That
it looked like they put the effort in it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm very happy.
They
about
made sure that they put every little piece in the exact same spot, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a lot of different alien things in there that require a lot of makeup and stuff.
Yeah. I like that a lot of the movies that are getting nominated now do feature aliens.
Oh, yeah.
That's a nice little. A jab at the Oscar committee, I guess.
Oscar's committee seems like they hate sci-fi.
They really do. They snubbed Tron when it first came out.
Yeah, they just like, yep, CGI doesn't count as special effects. It's cheating.
Dumb.
And nowadays.
I wonder if you could like give it an honorary Oscar. Is that real?
I don't know.
That'd be nice to give it to.
Original Tron. Yeah, they use CGI, so it disqualified them automatically.
Yeah, make me editor of Hollywood, and I'll go ahead and just get in on that committee really quick and give Tron, like, a late Oscar. Sorry for fucking that up so bad back in the 80s or whatever.
Yeah, sorry it's about 23 years late. Or no, it's actually more than that. It's like...
At least 26, right? I don't know why. Well, I'm pulling strange numbers out of my head.
I thought
now.
It was, like, what, 1982 or something like that?
82, yep.
So.
Okay, so 82, 92,
maybe 33 years late.
Okay, I said I wasn't going to try to feel old, but wow, Tron is old, guys.
Yeah.
Wow, all right. Go ahead and like us on Facebook, facebook.com/TGF Radio. We're also TGF Radio on Twitter. Email us things, because you're not when we watch it to you, at tgfradioshow@gmail.com. All the old episodes and subscribable links for iTunes and RSS are at tgfradio.com. Anything you want to say before we... go to sleep because it's really late.
Basically, like we already said, don't watch 50 Shades of Grey. Go see any other movie other than that, quite honestly.
Go watch a Nicolas Cage movie.
Go watch a Nick
that
Cage
man's
movie
life.
Or something, yes.
Actually, oh, wait, before we shut this down, I just remembered I was celebrating Mardi Gras with Kirstie's family, and she was showing me some pictures of when she went to New Orleans. Nicolas Cage already has his tomb made in New Orleans. It's shaped like a pyramid. It has something written in Latin on it. That guy he's got it all planned out, man.
Yeah. And Keanu Reeves will never die.
Maybe, but...
We'll see.
But if he does die, he should be buried next to Nicolas Cage, because that would just be a perfect world.
Well, I just was thinking the whole immortality thing.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't know what we're talking about, look it up.
Yeah, there's some very incriminating evidence that he's traveled across dimensions. All right, we'll be back next week. Party on, everybody.